Reading of God's Word in Romans chapter 12, beginning at the fourth verse. And I remind you that this is the eternally true and trustworthy, inerrant Word of the living God. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who acts, who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Holy Father, by your Holy Spirit, would you cause what you have written and what you want us to know to be heard and understood and received and put into practice, Lord, for your glory and for our sake. In Jesus' name, amen. So you're aware that for the last couple of weeks, and again this morning, I am giving some introductory sermons on spiritual gifts. I'm leading up to the preaching on the specific gifts that Paul mentions here in Romans 12, which we will get to, I promise. But we're taking Paul's admonition to the Corinthians to heart when he says, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. The Holy Spirit does not want us to be uninformed, to be ignorant, to be confused about these things. Now, in my sermon last week, I gave 10 truths about spiritual gifts. I said that only those who have the Spirit have them, meaning those who are Christians. Every Christian has at least one. No one has them all, and no single gift is given to everyone. So in other words, one body, many parts, all functioning and working together. You can't earn them. You can ask for them, but it's the Spirit who decides who gets which ones and how much and how many. And as long as we have the Holy Spirit, we have His gifts. And that means we have a purpose and a place in the body of Christ. And we are here to serve one another for the common good. We don't always give thought to this the way we should, and I'm urging us to do that. Now this morning, I want to give 6 things that the spiritual gifts are not, or what they are not to be confused with. As I said, all of this is in an effort to help us not to be uninformed or ignorant, and leading up to our taking to heart what our gifts are and how the Spirit wants us to be using them. So first, spiritual gifts are not to be confused with natural talents. Natural talents are a part of our natural life, our natural birth, our growing up, and it can be a function of inheritance or genetics or experiences, all manner of things. But auto mechanics or speaking Spanish or playing the piano or having a sense of humor, these are not spiritual gifts. There was a survey that was done many years ago, and people wrote those things down as their spiritual gifts. I sometimes say I have the spiritual gift of suspicion, but it's not really a gift from the Spirit. So when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about vocational skills or natural abilities. Those come as a result, as I said, of inheritance or experiences, family life, social environment. Those are possessed by everyone, believers and unbelievers. And they can be used to serve God, but they can also be used just to serve ourselves, as they often are. They come to us through experience and practice and human effort. natural talents come from God's common grace that He gives to all people. Spiritual gifts come to us by God's saving grace, by the Spirit of God, once we're saved, and they are received. And then they blossom, they mature as we grow in our faith, and they're used to glorify God and to serve others and to build the family of God. So, for instance, someone with the natural gift of teaching before they're a Christian will often find that that will be used then by the Holy Spirit when He gives the spiritual gift of teaching. And it will be put to use for spiritual purposes, and it will bear fruit for God's glory. So when we're speaking about the difference between spiritual gifts and natural gifts are natural. Spiritual gifts are supernatural. They're God-given, God-energized, God-glorifying. That's the first thing. Spiritual gifts should also not be confused with the fruit of the Spirit. You know the fruit of the Spirit that's listed in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Spiritual fruit show our maturity as Christians. Spiritual gifts show our ministry as Christians. Spiritual fruit are our attitudes, our character, our being. Whereas spiritual gifts are our aptitudes, our function in the body, our doing. Now, the fruit is who I am to be. It's what I'm to be like. The gifts are what I do in the body for the sake of the body. Both are, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit. Fruit is an extension of the character of Christ, whereas gifts are an extension of the ministry of Christ. Spiritual fruit is eternal. Spiritual gifts are temporal, temporary, meaning for the body of Christ while on earth. So as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, prophecies, faith, tongues, knowledge, these things will pass away, but love will abide forever. So Christian character is important for all Christians, and all Christians are to manifest, to display the fruit all the time, whereas we only have a few of the gifts. In other words, we're not given one or two or maybe three fruit. It's a package deal. We're to manifest all the fruit as we grow in faith and in likeness to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is what the gifts rest on. They need to be the foundation of it. I had a meeting this week with Helene Eatma, who was sharing with me what she's preparing for the Daughters of Zion Bible study this fall. She has written an excellent study on the fruit of the Spirit. She's going to be teaching that to Daughters of Zion. She has done an incredible job of pulling in examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's going to be excellent. I commend it to all you women. And I think you can come at any age. I think it's okay. The fruit of the Spirit, all the fruit, all the time, undergirding and helping us as we exercise and put into practice the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not to be confused with natural talents, not to be confused with fruit of the Spirit, nor are they to be confused with Christian roles and responsibilities or ministry positions. There are organizational positions in the church that are not the same as ministry contributions. This would be like the difference between titles and tasks, or between an office and a gift. It's possible to hold the office of pastor and maybe not have the gift of leadership, or to hold the office of deacon and not necessarily have the spiritual gift of serving. The offices are based on God's calling. But the Christian roles and responsibilities, those are different from the spiritual gifts. All Christians are called to be witnesses. They're all called to serve, to share, to be generous, to give, to be merciful and encouraging and to pray. We're called to do all of those to the best of our ability. When Paul writes in Romans 12:13, he says to all of us, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. He's writing to all Christians here, not just to those with the spiritual gift of generosity or hospitality. The person who has those particular gifts will exercise them with greater ease, with greater freedom, with greater frequency, and with greater effectiveness. But we are all, in some measure, to do those things. Can you imagine if someone were to come up to a Christian and they're in great need? They have some dire situation and they need help. And suppose that as they ask this person for help, the person responds, I'm sorry, I don't have the gift of serving or helping. You'll need to go find somebody who has that spiritual gift. Just because I don't have the gift of evangelism, for instance, doesn't mean that I should leave the sharing of my faith to those who have that gift. We all have responsibility and role as Christian for sharing our faith, whether we have that spiritual gift. Those with that gift can help the rest of us. So spiritual gifts aren't the same as just the normal Christian roles and responsibilities and duties that we have. Spiritual gifts should not be confused with spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are things like praying, fasting, tithing, reading Scripture, worshiping, meditating, confessing. All of these things, all spiritual disciplines, they strengthen us. While the spiritual gifts are meant and given to strengthen others. So, with the gifts we strengthen the body, with the disciplines we strengthen ourselves, our own faith, our own walk with Christ. And of course, in practicing the spiritual disciplines, again, it will serve and help us with the exercising of our gifts. So, we should all build up our faith and our relationship with God through all the various spiritual disciplines that He's given to us, and we should all build up the faith of the body by exercising the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Remember what we said before, that your spiritual gifts are not actually yours. They're not for you. They're for the body. We're not free to say that, well, I have this gift and I'll decide, you know, when I use it and where I use it and how I use it and what I want to do with it. When the Spirit gives the gifts, He intends for us to get moving, to use them. There are needs in the body that He intends for us to have a part in meeting. One body, many parts. Fifth, the spiritual gifts are not to be confused with counterfeit gifts. You know that Satan comes as an angel of light and as a counterfeit spirit, and he can imitate the real thing. Think back to the 10 plagues and Moses when he was doing those miracles, and you remember some of those miracles were being counterfeited by the prophets in Egypt. There are people who seem to have powers to do things or to know things, but that power is not of God. And Scripture warns us about false prophets and false teachers and false Christs. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, on that day many of you will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And this is why we need to heed the words of John in 1 John 4 when he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God." Here's the way. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So the key question to ask is, who gets the glory? Who gets the credit? Who are we pointing to? If it exalts a person rather than Jesus, it's false. So there are two possible sources of power. Two possible sources of supernatural power. And we have to discern and judge the source and the character of the power. This is why the body needs the spiritual gift of discernment and the discerning of spirits to help the rest of us know where there might be a false spirit in our midst. Finally, spiritual gifts should never become an occasion for sin. In the letter to the Corinthians, there are three chapters there about spiritual gifts in chapter 12, 13, and 14. And it's interesting that the middle chapter, chapter 13, is the one that is well known to you. It's the love chapter, and it's in between those two big chapters in the Bible about the gifts, and it's reminding us that the gifts are to be exercised with love. Without love, they're worthless. So we read in 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing." And so as 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts." Pursue love. We also need to exercise our gifts without a sense of superiority or inferiority, for that matter. The gifts can easily deteriorate into a critical spirit, a proud spirit, a self-righteous spirit. I was talking this last week with my dear friend Von Golder. He just got back from Kosovo and Albania. He was there to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the first church that he helped plant in the country of Kosovo, before they were able to go into Albania and plant churches there. 40 years that work started. And he shared how hard it was in the first several years. Brutal. He said that they had among them a number of people with strong spiritual gifts, but they lacked humility. And as a result, it was divisive. They were arrogant. They were unteachable. And it caused a great deal of difficulty as they were starting to plant churches in a place where there were none and with people who were very recent converts. In 1 Corinthians 12:21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" Don't boast about your gift or use it to lord over others. You remember here in this Romans 12 text, we spoke about this not having a high view of ourselves as if we don't need anything, that I don't need your gifts or what you have to offer me. A high view of myself disables the gifts. It disables the sacrificial treatment of others and the consideration of those who are weak. We can't hear God well if we have a perpetually high view of ourself. As Romans 12:3 says, don't think too highly of yourselves, but with sober judgment. And by that, we are more teachable, we're more accountable, more submissive, able to come alongside and serve one another. The opposite is also true, that we ought not to look with envy on other people's gifts or neglect our own because we think they're too small or too unimportant or unnecessary. All the gifts, equally necessary. There's not a hierarchy of gifts, even if there are some that are more public and some that are more behind the scenes. The ministry that's going on right now over with the children is as important as the ministry that I'm doing right now. So it's a sin when we neglect our gifts out of fear or what we think others will say, or out of feelings of inadequacy, or thinking that there are others who can do it better. Our focus is too much on ourselves rather than on the Spirit when we're thinking in those ways. Be others serving, not self-serving. There's also another danger that comes with spiritual gifts. When we project our gift onto others, I've experienced this both ways. I admit that I think many people ought to be able to open the Word of God and stand up and proclaim it to us. I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it. But I realize that's projecting. There are other gifts that people have that they think I should be able to do. And, well, it doesn't seem to happen that way. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, he says, I wish that all of you were as I myself am. Sounds like, you know, thinking about, but, he says, but. Each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. So, whatever it is that you are able to do and do well, you're going to have that tendency to think, well, anybody else can do that. And you have to curb that response. Don't expect everyone else to be like you, and don't feel guilty if you can't be like someone else. Paul actually was addressing, when you see three chapters in a letter all dealing with spiritual gifts, you can get a clue that there's a problem in Corinth. And he's addressing that problem, where there seems to be an overemphasis in particular on the gift of tongues, and people putting it above the other gifts and pushing it on everyone. And it still happens today, especially in some Pentecostal circles, where everyone's expected to have that gift as a sign that they have the Holy Spirit. So, don't let the gifts, as Satan is going to try to do, to lead you into sin. Don't boast, don't compare, don't neglect, but count others better and serve one another. So to conclude, 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians 14:12, strive to excel in building up the body. Here's part of what I really want to drive home here. We are not our own. We think that way, we act that way, we behave that way. We are not our own. We are created by God and in the image of God for God. And then when we fell and we fall, we're all sinners, then we are saved by God. We are bought with a price. We're not our own. And then we're adopted by God, by the Spirit of adoption. And so we are part of God's family, brothers and sisters to each other. And then this Spirit that we're given gives us gifts, not for ourselves, but for the body. We are not our own. We are gifted to give, not to be just receivers, but givers. Consider this. Reflect on this. Meditate on this. I am not my own, but belong body and soul to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Heidelberg Catechism. We are not our own. We're part of the body. So what does that call us to? The spiritual gifts are visible displays of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, calling us to serve each other and to build up the body of Christ. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was first seen in visible tongues of fire and in audible speaking in tongues. Today, the Holy Spirit continues to be visible in the church when each member exercises their spiritual gift. A church where the members are serving and ministering is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. Our gifts are channels through which the Spirit is present in our midst. And when the gifts are being exercised, well, that's where God has chosen to be present with His people. If you could just simply wake up each morning, and before you get up, you just think for a moment and offer a short prayer. Lord, it's my desire, it's my prayer this morning, and I'm asking you that you would use me however you would like, wherever you would like, in the life of someone today. And then just wait and watch and see who God brings into your path, into your midst, with a particular need that He has prepared you for and equipped you to help. Look for that opportunity that has been crafted just for you in that moment, in that day. A way of encouraging, building up, strengthening someone's faith, reminding them just of who God is and what He has done. Some small things. Just start with that prayer and that desire for each day and see what it grows into. There are few things that match the blessing of knowing and using your spiritual gift and experiencing the Holy Spirit working in and through you. Consider these things. Take them to heart. And you will find your joy and your satisfaction. 1 Corinthians 9:15. In all things give thanks to God for all His gifts and for His indescribable gift in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, by Your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, would You live in us and in ways that are new and fresh and in ways that grant us that clear confidence that yes, You indeed are with us and with us always. And Lord, would You fan into flames the gifts that are among us and in us here. Would You glorify Yourself as we seek to glorify You and to build one another up in the faith. Come and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.